Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Morning, church. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for what you've done so far this day. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work in our midst. Pray that you would change hearts, change minds. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would direct me and, Lord, would speak very clearly this morning. We pray those things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, last week, Graham got up and he said he was going to preach an amazing word this morning. And obviously his knee would have made it a little bit awkward. He was happy to do it, but he said, if anyone's got anything to bring this morning, then he'd be happy to, well, not step aside, but maybe roll aside if he was in a wheelchair this morning. But last Sunday morning, Cindy Woodcock brought a word from the stage, and something just rang in my ears straight away. And one of the things that she said was, in the word that she said, someone's mind or people's minds were just whirling. Minds were just whirling and whirling, and through that, as I was sitting there, God just gave me a picture of how it is in our life. And you know, as humans, if you're old enough to remember Humphrey B. Bear, Humphrey B. Bear used to get himself into all manner of strife, and at times. That's how we are. We get ourselves into all manner of strife. And this morning, I want to bring to you a word on his workmanship. And so I'll explain it in a little bit, but if you've got your Bibles, you can follow on the screen or, you know, with your Word Bible or with your, you know, the actual one you can carry or with your Bible app or whatever you have. So Philippians 1 and verse 6. And it says this, I'm convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. That was the Amplified Version. So everything kind of came together with this word. Over the last few months, well, let me go back a step. Last year, we bought a new house. And so it wasn't a new house. It was an older house. And so we moved in last year, and there were some things when you do this, when you get a house, some things that you noted that needed to be changed and adjusted to suit, I guess, the family needs or to remove some of the old things. And so there was a couple of bedrooms when we first walked through the house. There's two of the bedrooms that had built-in robes, okay? And these built-in robes were very functional. They're great functional built-in robes, but they were add-ons. They were just added on after the house was built. And so you walked into the room and you knew it wasn't part. When you see a proper built-in robe, cornices are fixed in, everything's fixed in place, plastered in nicely. These were melamine add-in cupboards. And it was one thing about the house I thought, in time, I'm going to change those things. And so like I say, you know, time's difficult to have, but it's been a while to put built-in robes in. I never thought they'd take so long to do. And so what I did in one of the bedrooms, I pulled one robe totally out, and I've reconformed the room and put a robe on the other side. And in the other bedroom, I've just pulled the robe out and put another one in the same spot. So today I want to give you a picture and draw some parallels regarding how God our Father, not distant but close to us, works in us, and how much are we prepared to allow him to grow and change us. And I had five observations through what I've been doing in the steps in this process. And if we could put those up, Cara, that'd be awesome, the five steps. So the first one is design. The second one is frame. The third one is sanding. Sounds like fun. The fourth one is finishing. And the last one is stuff. And we'll come to that. And you'll think, well, geez, that's deep. Well, we'll get to that. And it possibly will be. So, firstly, I want to start with design. In recognition of change, I set out to plan, to draw, and design how this would take place based on the original design of the house. So to make it look like it fits in with it. Now, God created and designed each of us in a certain way. And it's important to understand this, to believe this, and to be thankful to our designer for his creation. Once we begin to be thankful for God's creation, once we begin to be thankful for what he's doing in us and he's done in us and how he's created us, tends to drop the stress load a bit because we're not carrying the weight ourselves. So here's three scriptures just to back this up. So Hebrews 3 verse 4 says, "For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God." And John 1 verse 3 says, "All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him not even one thing was made that has come into being." And thirdly, as much as some people think that there are other being created, so God created man in his own image, in the image and likeness of God. He created him male and female. He created them. So we have a look at Psalm 139. I do have that up there. 139, 14 to 16. And I love this scripture. This just paints a beautiful picture. "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." Some are more complex than others. That wasn't in there. But some are more complex than others. "You're not looking at anyone. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day past." Now, like the rooms with the add-ons in our place, they look like add-ons. The cupboards, you wouldn't call them built-in robes, the cupboards. We all, in different ways and at different times, shift away from God's plan or design. And we all come to a point of change as we are called and challenged by God, our Father, to follow his design. How often we go the way we want, the way we want to go, and then blame God when it all goes pear-shaped. Now, the other day, I had the joy of taking my kids into the city for dental appointments, and we have for 3 or 4 years. It's been a bit of a process. And one of my boys had a bit of a bad experience. He had 4 or 5 teeth out on the one day a couple of years ago. Needless to say, it scarred him. Anyone been scarred by the dentist? Emotionally, physically, that's why it's on the inside, not on the outside, because we've been scarred. So we were at the dentist, and he had determined in his mind that that was the last time that he was going to have anyone play around in his mouth and pull anything out of his mouth. So we got there, and I always get a little bit edgy when this one gets on the seat, because if he doesn't get the answers he likes, it can be quite catastrophic, which is why I go to the dentist and Mum doesn't go to the dentist. She's a bit afraid when she goes to the dentist. So So the dentist said, there's one particular tooth there that's decided it doesn't want to come out. Now, you could feel the tension in the room. As I looked at him, not the dentist, I looked at my son, and he looked at me, and he's just like... And I went... And so they said, look, we need to take an X-ray just to check. And sure enough, the X-ray, you know, the process of him fearing death, we took the X-ray, and the dentist came back and said, look, it's got to come out. Is it going to come out today? And I thought, there's no way I'm having this kid worry about this for 3 weeks before the next. I said, it's coming out today. And he said, it's not going to hurt, is it, Dad? And I said, no, it's not going to hurt. Oh, joy. Glad I'm not sitting in the seat, sticking needles up into the mouth. He's quite stubborn, like one of his parents. Lucky there's no mirrors up here. So it was a bit of a harrowing task for 25 minutes as the dentist convinced him that she wasn't going to cause any pain, and thank goodness she didn't cause him any pain and the tooth came out. But it was on the X-ray, it was really interesting. You could just see something that wasn't meant to be where it was. And the design, there was a design fault and it needed to come out. And sometimes in our life, God has a certain design for us and we track through life to a certain point, and sometimes the experience of having that thing removed can be quite painful. And it doesn't often happen like that. Sometimes it's a process. But are we prepared to go through the process? So the second thing that I noted was the frame. And so our house is about 50 years old. And if you know anything about building, at 50 years old, they never use softwoods for a frame. They use hardwoods. And so it's had 50 years to harden up, and so it's difficult to work with, and it takes some work. And so as I began to plan this and thought, well, I took my first nail and I thought, I'll just hammer that in. I thought, that's not going to go in. I started to drill a nail and I thought, this just isn't much fun. So there's a store, I don't know whether you know it, just across the road called Bunnings. And I explained to my wife that I needed something for the job. So I went over and I bought two nail guns. I bought a framing nail gun and a fixing nail gun, and I'll sell them afterwards, but it's good to know that we need them. And so began the process of this. Now, at times, allowing God to change us is hard. It's been that way for too long. That's the way it's been for so long. So why bother changing it now? Even if it's killing me, why bother changing it? Whether it be thoughts of anger, feeling overworked, addicted, stressed, reactionary, judgmental, it's a fair list, unloving, hurt, offended, double-minded, discontent with life, or just needing to be perfect in everything. These things often go on for years and years, and yet God's got a better design that is better for us in the long run, no matter how we see it. And there was two parallels that I noted with the hard frame. And the first one was that a hard frame often represents a hard heart. And the second one is a hard frame represents pride in our lives. Now, both of these speak of disappointment after disappointment, which do untold damage, leading to, if that's how God works, then I'm not buying into it. I'm not going to do things his way. I'm just going to do it my way because I think it's better. In Exodus We see Pharaoh had a hard heart when Moses requested freedom for the captives. And often you hear people speak about how God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, for the first five plagues, Pharaoh hardened his own heart and did untold damage in plagues if he'd only just said, yep, God, no worries. But his design was obviously a bit smarter than what God's was, and it didn't end well for Pharaoh. And we see in Matthew, chapter 13, verses 10 to 16. And it says, his disciples came and asked him, this is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking with the disciples. And the parable of the sower, he's just started to speak. And they asked him a question. And this is what it says in verse 10. His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to these people? And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. You ever seen someone go backwards before they go forwards, and you think they might be in a place of being able to go forwards, but they go backwards anyway? And in verse 13 it says, that is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, maybe prideful, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. So their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. That's a pretty chilling scripture. That's a pretty chilling outlay of what Jesus said. But then he says this. He says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Is God speaking to you today? Is he trying to bring change? Are you listening? Do you have a hard heart? Do you think you know better? See, the opposite of a hard heart and pride is a soft heart and humility. It's unfortunate that it takes coming to the end of ourselves before coming to that point of humility. So the third thing, sanding. After the frame, putting the plaster and the cornice, filling, and then time for some more sanding. I've never seen so much plaster dust in all my life. It was in my ears, up my nose, in my mouth, in my hair, down my shirt, down my pants, everywhere. It was all over the place. And so it wasn't a pleasant experience. And the process of change is sometimes two steps forward and one step back. And the thinking it's all going well until you hit another hurdle can be frustrating. Nearly every time, the finishing part in a project is the easiest. The finishing part is the easiest. And I can tell you by experience that very few want to go through the preparation, the hard yards, the facing up to reality, answering the hard questions. But it is so rare to be able to cut corners on a project or in life and get away with it. Almost never. And just in case you're wondering, God loves you too much to allow the cutting of corners. He is more concerned about the finished product, not the short term. See, Peter found this out. In Matthew 16, we see this incredible moment in Peter's life. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Right at that moment, Peter thought he was all right. He thought he was going really well. And it's kind of like this process of sanding, where you sand something and from a distance it looks like it's smooth. But get up a little bit closer, rub your hand over it, and it's still a little bit rough. So a matter of 5 verses later, we think we might need some coarse sandpaper. But Peter took him aside after Jesus had said that he'd need to go to the cross. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him. This is Peter reprimanding Jesus. Good luck with that one, Peter. For saying such things, heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. So after Jesus has said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, Jesus follows up with this gem. You ready? You ready for this? This is Jesus' gem to Peter. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. And so Jesus takes a bit of the coarse sandpaper to Peter. And in the process of Peter's life, there would have been different levels of sandpaper and different levels of sanding that he would have gone through. He could choose to just let that go and not be written about again in the New Testament, or he could continue down the path of allowing God to sand him and shape him. And I just want to read this. Acts. Have we got Acts here? I've lost Acts. I've lost a whole page. Just bear with me for a sec. I'm going to skip one little verse where he talks about, you know, Peter denying Jesus, and we know that story, and that was hard for Peter. But let me skip to finishing. The imperfections often don't show up unless you shine a light on them, or until the final finish goes on. You can ask an old panel beater this, and if it's not right, it's back to preparation. But now look at Peter in Acts before the Sanhedrin. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. They brought in two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to you, all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could not see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. And we see here that Peter's gone through the process of allowing God to sand him. And you can see the outworking. Are we prepared to allow God to do that in our lives? Cara, if we could play that video. If you just want to watch the screens for a few minutes as we see this. So, just to finish up, if we could have the if I could have the photo up, that would be awesome. So, I just want to give a reflection on this, but this is the finished cupboard, okay? And it's not to, you know, show anything, but just to see where it's at now, and just give a couple of reflection. It's nearly finished. The doors have got to go on, but we're nearly there. But the first reflection I have with the cupboard is there are some things that need to be sorted and removed that were from the old cupboard. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6 says, "Do you not know that a little leaven ferments the whole batch of dough, just as a little sin corrupts a person or an entire church?" Ephesians 4:20-24 says, "But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Second thing that I noted is noticed with the picture, I'll just flick back to the picture, is don't fill the new wardrobe with other people's stuff. That robe's got half of one boy's stuff and half of the other's. But don't fill it with other people's stuff. What do I mean? In the process of God's work, you don't need to get distracted by others. In one, what they think of you. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" And the second thing with other people's stuff is don't compare yourself to others. And we saw a little bit of that in the clip. Is pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. We're all at different phases in the work, whether it be, you know, and we all flip back into, you know, those things. Can you go back to the, I think it's second or third slide with the five things, Cara? We're all in different places, design, frame, sanding, finishing stuff, and we all go to and from the others. But it's important today that if God's been speaking to you, you need to respond. And what I mean by respond is that what happens in your life isn't going to absolutely turn over backwards and everything turn around here at the altar, but it could be the start of the process of change. And so today, in a minute, we're gonna sing the last song that we sang in worship. So if the team can come up, and there is a moment where we've actually got to recognise that God is doing a work in our life, and we've got to know that it's Him doing a work. And if He's knocking on the door of your heart, however big or small the change is, then you need to make a decision today to allow Him to start the process. Even through the disappointments in the past, His mercies are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. And so we're going to sing, and I just want to finish. We can go to the last slide, Cara. An important aspect of allowing God to do His work And we heard one of the words this morning about taking time out and to listen. But firstly is humility. Secondly is to rest and to take some time out. Third one is to listen. And the fourth one is to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. Jesus said, "I'm sending you a helper." And if we don't recognize the Holy Spirit in our lives, then He can't help us. So find out what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and allow Him to help you. If we could all stand, please, as we sing. And if you know you need to respond, I just want you to come down and we're going to sing a couple of verses and then I'm going to pray and then we're going to close. And I want you to allow God to continue to complete the work that He's begun. Don't leave today without triggering that off and allowing to do what He needs to do. Let's sing and come forward if you need to.